Some of you will have them in your Sunday school classes and in the nursery. And you do play a big part in their lives as you witness and testify to the love of God. So keep them in your prayers. And I'm excited about next Sunday for you as a church as well, as you vote on a new pastor. I know you've been praying for quite a while for the person that God would send to you as a pastor. And I know that Ann and I have been praying as well. And so I would encourage you to continue to lift them up in prayer. I've been where, I believe his name is Doug. Pastor Doug has been before, and there's always a little anxiety and all kinds of, there's a lot of praying, I should say, going on in their decision and you as a congregation, your decision as you vote to call them. So I do want to commend Pastor Trevor and Pastor Bill for the unity that they have provided for you as a church. And you're very fortunate to have them as leaders and the board that you have, as everybody has stood behind them. And I just want to commend you for that and thank the Lord for your commitment to God and to one another. It says a lot about you as individuals and for you as a church, how you've stood together and have gone through this. So we'll just continue to pray throughout this week for next Sunday's vote. The history of all churches should be that of a journey. I think the basic message of the church is to keep on believing. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your job. Don't give up on the Lord. Just keep on believing. And that is a word all of us need to hear. We need to know that God wants us to keep on believing no matter what we go through in our lives. And so keep on believing. But how do you do that? How do you keep on believing when you go through difficult times in your life? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So how do you keep on believing in spite of the times that you're going through in your life? There are two keys that I believe that are present to have a persistent faith. The faith that keeps on believing no matter what you go through. And I think all of us have been through difficult times in our lives, and some of you may be going through them right now. And I know that prayer makes a difference as we bring our needs and our petitions to God, and God hears and answers our prayers. So that's really the first step all of us need to do, is to continue to pray for God's direction. But there's two keys of having a persistent faith that I want to talk about this morning. The faith that keeps on believing no matter what you're experiencing in your own life. And the first key is this: understand what God wants to do in your life. The Bible says very clearly that there are definite patterns or process that God performs in our lives. And I want to call them the six stages of faith. You need to understand these phases and these stages of faith so that you don't get discouraged when you go through difficult times. Each stage requires you to keep on believing. As we go through the stages of life, as I look back over my own life and the struggles and the trials that I've been through, and believe me, I've been through a lot. And I know that you guys have been through a lot individually. There's things you've been through that I've never been through, and vice versa. But we all are going to experience times in our lives that we really need God, and we really need Him to draw close to us. And we need to have ways that we can strengthen our faith and our belief in Him. And so I want to share six of them with you this morning. And the first is this, is that God gives you a dream. That is the starting point. God gives you a dream, an idea, a goal. He may give you a challenge, a promise. It might be a desire. It may be an ambition. And it might even be a call upon your life. A call of ministry. A call of a profession or occupation. So many ways that God can call us. But most of it always starts with a dream. If you've ever started a business, you know it had to start in the dreaming stage before it even became a reality. It began as a dream in your mind. Churches begin as a dream. I don't know the full history of this church, but I believe Pastor Ron Slater and maybe some of you folks here had a dream that this community needed New Life Fellowship here in this country and where you're at today. So it started with a dream. God gave Noah the dream of building an ark. God gave Abraham the dream of being the father of a great nation called Israel. God gave David the dream of being a king. And God gave Nehemiah the dream of rebuilding Jerusalem. And God always starts with a dream. Nothing really happens until we get a dream, until we get a desire, until we get a call upon our lives. And then things begin to happen. This pattern goes on throughout the scriptures, as we'll see this morning as we continue on, the different examples that God gives us of how he worked in and through people's lives. So I encourage you to keep on believing. God has given you a dream, a goal, a vision, a desire, maybe even a call upon your life. Where do we go from there? That stage two is a decision. You make a decision. Am I going to follow the dream or not? That's a decision you have to make. A dream is worthless unless you choose it. You can dream all day long. Probably some of us, like myself, are dreamers. I dream all the time. I dream at night all the time. They're usually silly, ridiculous dreams, but I have them, and they don't make much sense. In fact, I've been known to have a dream. I wake up and go back to sleep and continue the dream. That's always fun and exciting to do when that happens, because you want to try to find out what happens, don't you? And so I haven't heard too many people that can do that, but occasionally I can do that, and I'm glad when I can finish the dream. But the dream is the process, is the beginning of that process of faith, is where you lay it on the line. You make that decision. You invest your time. You invest your money. You invest your reputation, your energy. You make the decision. We're going to go for it. We're going to take that first step. And if you're ever going to walk on water, you're going to have to get out of the boat, and you're going to have to take that first step. I'm always amazed at Peter of how he could take that first step. I mean, I'm not afraid of water, but if I'm out in a boat, I'm not going to step out of the boat. I mean, I didn't know how deep that would be, but Peter, he had the faith. He saw Jesus. He kept his eyes focused on Jesus. He didn't start sinking until he took his eyes off of Jesus, by the way, but he took the step of faith. Jesus says, come. Peter says, okay, and he gets out of the boat. There was other people in the boat. They stayed in the boat. But Peter got out of the boat. So that's where you begin. You get out of the boat. The decision stage in the process of faith always involves letting go of security. Now think about Abraham. He had to leave a country. He had to leave friends. He had to leave his father to go to a place that God has called him to go, and he did not know where he was going. That took a lot of faith. God called him to a land that he knew nothing of, and he obeyed, and he went. Moses had to make a decision to let go of a promising career in Pharaoh's court. In fact, Moses was second in command in Egypt when God called him to go and follow God's will. So there is always a decision-making time. So I encourage you to keep on believing. First the dream, then the decision. And the third stage is the delay. We're always going to have delay. This is where some of us get discouraged. There always seems to be a delay when God wants to work in your life. I wish sometimes that when he gives you a dream that it automatically, immediately just takes an effect, but it doesn't always work that way, does it? There is always a time lapse, a waiting period, a kind of a delay. He doesn't give us the dream necessarily right away. Now, he may tell you what to do, and boom, everything just falls right into place, and it's just amazing what God is doing. But a lot of times, we have a little delay in that decision. Maybe you just need a little more time to pray about it and to seek God's direction, and he gives us that time. Nothing is more common in life than waiting. We have to wait on everything, don't we? We wait on the traffic. We wait in the doctor's office. We wait at restaurants. Curious thing about restaurants. As you're sitting there waiting for your food, you have servers all around us, right? Now you're sitting there and you're waiting, but those that are serving are called waiters and waitresses, and yet you're the one that's sitting there waiting. I think we need to change that those that are waiting are called waiters and waitresses, and those that are serving are servers. That's kind of just a little side note there. Now, as we've gotten into the technical age of all things, we sometimes even have to wait on our computers. Sometimes our computers aren't as quick as we would like them to be. All these gigabytes that we have, and sometimes we have to wait a half a nanosecond to get our page to come up on the web page. And yeah, my computer's a little older, and it's a few seconds behind times possibly, but you know what? It's okay. I can wait a second for my web page to come up. But it's sometimes frustrating, isn't it, when you have to wait on things. And sometimes we have to wait on God. And sometimes, you know, we get to the point where we say, hurry up, God. I need to have these answers right now. And I think we've all done that. But we, every believer in the Bible, has to go through God's time of waiting, God's school of waiting. And there's some good lessons to be learned during those times of waiting. You dream, decision, delay. Noah waited 120 years for it to rain. That's quite a wait, isn't it? That's a long time. You wouldn't have to wait long here to have that. But back then, it was quite a long time. Abraham was 99 years old when he had a son. Moses waited 40 years in the desert. We know the story about Moses and the children of Israel wandering around in the desert for 40 years. Joseph waited in prison, falsely accused, for a number of years. David was anointed king as a young man, but it took many years before he actually became the king of Israel. Jesus waited 30 years before he began his ministry that lasted only 3 years. And so a lot of people had to wait for God to work in and through their lives. So why does God take us through the delay stage? It is to teach us to trust him. God wants us to trust him. A delay will never destroy God's purpose in your life. Delays are just a part of God's purpose for your life. A lot of things we can learn as we wait in the waiting rooms of life. And how you handle them a lot of times determines your faith. In fact, waiting is an act of faith. It is. It takes a lot of faith to wait on God. So how do we do that? How do we wait on God to direct us? First comes the dream, then comes the decision to invest time and money and effort to go forward. Then comes the delay. So I encourage you to keep on believing. And stage four is the difficulties. That's another thing that we don't look forward to, but we know that typically there's always difficulties when we follow God's call upon our lives. And there's two kinds. There's critics and there's circumstances. Imagine the difficulties these men had to go through in fulfilling God's dream. In fact, think of the difficulties that Moses faced when he led, they figured about 500,000 Jews across the desert. The problems of water, of food, restrooms, you know, how did they meet those needs? I imagine there was a lot of brainstorming going on as they traveled towards the promised land, and a lot of people had to make decisions, but I also understand that there was probably a lot of critics along the way, a lot of people complaining. I don't know if they had newspapers or not, but I imagine there was a section that there was a lot of critics writing in, complaining about this, complaining about that. Are we there yet? We've all said that, haven't we? Can you imagine on that journey that they had to go on, and that many people, they would have never made it without God's hand upon them, would it? They couldn't have made it without God guiding and directing their lives. So I'm sure they heard the critics and they heard the complaints. David was anointed by Samuel to be the king. For the next several years, Saul chased him all around the countryside. And in fact, at one time, David had to hide in caves. And this is King David that we know about. But he had a delay. He had a difficulty getting to the point to fulfill God's dream upon his life. And Joseph, his whole life was downhill. He comes to his brothers and says, one day I'm going to rule over you. I'm sure that went over real well. That did not go over too well, which understandably, I'm sure my brothers wouldn't like that either if I said that, that one day I'm going to rule over you. And that went over like a lead balloon. And what they did was they sold him into slavery. They sold him into Potiphar's house. He was accused of rape, put in jail. His whole life was downhill, at least the first 40 years of it. And if you know the rest of the story, God used him in a mighty way and made a difference in the life of the children of Israel. And think about Noah. Imagine the difficulties that he had organizing a floating zoo. No, Noah, you cannot put the snakes next to the birds. It just won't work. And you can't put the mice by the elephants. You just can't do that. That had to be a job. And for those of you that may be farmers, you know how difficult that might be to have all those animals in there. That is part, sometimes, of God's plan for our lives, is to go through the difficulties. Finally, you have exhausted all the limits of your ability. You've done everything you can do, and there has been one difficulty after another, and you are at the end of the rope. So I encourage you to continue to believe on God. And then stage five is the dead end. This situation declines until it becomes an impossibility, and you're going through a time that looks hopeless. There is no way out, and all things look bleak, and you're not sure where to turn. And do you feel like sometimes you're boxed into a corner? Humanly speaking, there is no way out. We probably have all been there, that we don't know what we're going to do next. We don't know the next step that God would have us take. We've got decisions to make, and we don't know what to do, and we feel hopeless. Humanly speaking, there is no way out. You're out of gas, and the situation does look hopeless. I find it interesting when you think about the life of Abraham that he would be a father of a great nation and that he had to wait until he was 99 years old for the promise that God had given to him. He waited until he was 99 years old. God did what it was physically impossible to have kids. And then God gave him a son. At age 85, God said to Abraham, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? You go into McDonald's and say, hey, what's your name? Oh, my name is Abraham. Oh, great. How many kids do you have? None. How old are you? 99. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? That God had promised you to be a father of a great nation and 99 years old and no kids. But God had a plan. God had a purpose for it all. God waits until it is impossible from a human standpoint for it to happen. And then you come into that dead end. And at this stage in life, you really begin to question God. What is going on, God? Did I miss your vision? Did I miss your dream? Did I miss the call? Did you not really call me to do this or that? Have I missed it altogether? And I think the best illustration of phase five is when you think about the children of Israel when they came to the dead end in the cul-de-sac when they were fleeing from Pharaoh and they came upon the Red Sea. You had mountains on both sides of you. You had the ocean in front of you. You had the army behind you. You come into this dead end. And I imagine there was lots of complaining and lots of questioning what Moses was doing. They were even talking about it would have been better to be back in the old days when they were actually slaves. And they talked, well, at least there was security there. And the question is, did God make a mistake when he brought them into this cul-de-sac, into this dead end? Not at all. You see, God had them exactly where he wanted them to be. God brought them to that point for a reason, for a purpose that only God knew it was going to be. All God asked them to be was to be faithful. That's what God asked us to be, is to be faithful, to trust him. And when we get to that point, we've just got to almost throw up our hands and say, God, I'm at the end of my rope. What do you want me to do? This might be hard to believe, but that is right where God wants you to be, at the end of your rope, when there's nowhere else to turn but to turn to Him. And God can meet your need. So I encourage you to keep on believing and putting your trust in your faith in God. God often calls us into impossible situations because that is where faith comes through. God was preparing them for stage six. And stage six is deliverance. God does a miracle. God provides the solution. He makes good on His promise. Abraham does have a son at 100 years old. The Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel walked across. Joseph was able to save his family from a famine. So many men and women in the Bible had gotten to the end of the rope only to see God come through. The battles that were won, the victories that were won, it was because the children of God stayed faithful and we trusted God that He would meet the needs. So our impossibilities are simply God's opportunities. He loves to turn dreams into realities. You see, when God does the impossible, it is so that He will get the glory. Nothing that we've done, but God wants the glory. In fact, God deserves the glory for what God allows us to have. So I encourage you to keep on believing. And so the first key to have a persistent faith is to understand what God wants to do in your life. And the second key is to need to learn how to wait. That's a tough one, isn't it? To learn how to wait. So how do you wait on God? I want to share four things with you from the acronym WAIT, W-A-I-T. The first is withstand. That is an old English word. It is used quite often in the King James Version. The Greek word means to stand your guard, to hold your ground. It is really a war term that means you hang in there. You keep on hanging on. You withstand the enemy. Ephesians 6, 11 and 16 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can withstand against the devil's schemes. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one." Waiting on God is a spiritual battle. If you've ever had to wait on God, you know that there's a spiritual battle going on. The devil wants to defeat you. He wants to discourage you. And God says, put on the armor. Get dressed for battle. Put on the armor of God so that you can withstand the arrows that Satan's going to send your way. And how do we do that? We put on the shield of faith. You see, Satan has a strategy for your life. The devil wants to defeat you and discourage you. But God has other plans. God has given us ways to defeat him and to stand up against him. If you take the shield of faith, it will protect you from the flaming arrows. You see, Satan, he's going to try to deceive you and discourage you. That's kind of what he does here in this earth. That's why he's evil. That's why he's can't be trusted. But God does give us the ability to withstand those fiery arrows that he wants to throw at us. So withstand, that is the first thing you do while you are waiting. You withstand the doubt and the discouragement that the devil would try to bring upon you. You just use the shield of faith. You stand firm. You withstand the enemy. Psalms 27:14 says, "Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." And the second letter is A, you anticipate. Anticipate while you wait. David says in Psalm 27:130 in the Living Bible, "I am expecting the Lord to rescue me again, so that once again I will see his goodness to me. I wait eagerly for the Lord's help." He is talking and he's expecting God to work in his life. The psalmist was expecting God to work because he has seen God work before. The Bible teaches that God works according to our expectations. Jesus said, "According to your faith, it will be done unto you." Do you anticipate God working in your life? Maybe that's what hope is expecting God to work in your life. The book of Hebrews says, hope is the anchor of the soul. It steadies us when we are tempted to give up and to give in during discouraging time. Do you have hope this morning? What is hope? Here's a short little abbreviation of hope. Hope is holding on and praying expectantly. You hold on and you pray expectantly. That's really what hope is you just hold on and you pray and you trust God that He is faithful. And I can tell you that God is faithful as we allow Him to work in and through our lives. Anticipate and expect God to work. That's what He wants us to do. And the I is intercede. That is another word for praying. While you withstand and while you are interacting with God and anticipating, you intercede. You pray and you keep on praying. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says, Jesus told His disciples a parable that we should always pray and not give up. In this verse, there are two alternatives. Either you can pray or you can give up. Because you know we will do one or the other. Either we're going to pray or we're going to give up. In any situation, whether either you pray or you give up, those are really the only alternatives. And the King James Version says, men ought always to pray. He wants us to pray always. Intercede while you are waiting on God. Psalms 5:3 says, morning by morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. He doesn't say I pray and forget about it, or I pray but don't believe it's going to happen. He says, I pray and I expect an answer. We can expect an answer from God. Sometimes it might be not yet. Sometimes it might be no. Sometimes it'll be yes. But God does answer our prayers and our requests. It says, how often? Morning by morning, continually and faithfully. Our problem is we stop praying too soon. We pray and we kind of say, we want instant results in our prayers. We pray and okay, I don't get it, must not be according to God's will. But sometimes God says, not yet. Sometimes God says you need to wait. Sometimes God says, I've got other things that need to be taken care of in your life first. These things aren't all lined up like they should be. Let's get these things in order, and then I will answer your prayer, because God wants us to trust Him and put our hope and our faith in Him. How often do you pray? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. That means we never stop. As you're driving through the countryside, you go by somebody's house, lift up a prayer for them. As somebody comes across your mind that the prayer requests that were here this morning, as God brings them across your mind, lift up a prayer for them. That's something all of us can do. All of us can pray for one another and lift each other's needs up to Him and to just pray for God's touch upon their lives. I am convinced that it's not so much that we're waiting on God, but that God is waiting on us. God wants to know what we are going to do. And this is a test of faith. And if we fail this test, God is going to say, one more time around the mountain. Have you gone around that mountain a few times? I know I have. It's not fun. The children of Israel had to wander around for 40 years because of disobedience, because of their lack of faith and trust in God. I don't want to do that in my life. I don't want to wander that long. I've had times of wandering, but God always brings me back. God always brings me back to His Word. He brings me across somebody's path that shares the Word of God with me. I can study God's Word and the truth comes forth and it helps me in my life. That's what God wants to do for us. How soon do you get to the promised land? According to your faith, it will be done unto you. We wait with hope and we keep on praying. And the T is trust. You trust God while you are waiting. Psalms 37 says, commit everything you do, not some things, everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him to help you do it, and He will. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him to act. That is probably the hardest thing for any of us to do, is to wait, and to wait patiently for God. To have that time that God says to be still, to wait on Him. You see, we want things hurried up. We want things quickly. We want God to answer things right away. But sometimes God wants us to wait patiently for Him to work in our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That is a couple of verses that I memorized quite a few years ago and has been very helpful to me, is that we can't rely on human understanding. Sometimes all we can do is just trust God and to rely on Him, because sometimes we just don't know which way to turn. We don't know what God would have for us. So we just patiently wait and we trust Him. And in humanly speaking, sometimes we just don't know. And so we have to trust God. Everything that happens in this world happens at the time that God chooses. God is never in a hurry. He cannot be pressured. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be pushed in to fit what we want in our lives and in our timetable. God is never in a hurry. In fact, sometimes God allows these things to happen. He allowed the children of Israel to roam 40 years. He allowed Abraham to have to wait until 99. He allowed Noah to wait 120 years for rain. I mean, sometimes, obviously, we won't have to wait that long because we don't live that long anymore. But yet, sometimes God asks us to wait. And sometimes that wait might be a few days, a few months, might even be a few years. Sometimes it might be almost a lifetime before God really answers your prayer. Maybe you're praying for one of your families, one of your kids, or one of your family members that don't know the Lord. Sometimes it takes a whole lifetime of praying before God answers. And sometimes God answers our prayers after we're gone. Sometimes our prayers continue on and prayers are answered afterwards. I've heard stories of mothers and grandmothers praying for their children. And when the children gets older and the mothers and fathers have already passed away, and yet their prayers are finally answered, that their children or grandchild comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're on God's timetable, not ours. And God is faithful, and He will do it. A great verse in the Bible is Philippians 1:6. Paul is saying, "Be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Jesus Christ." What God starts, He finishes. So keep on believing, keep on trusting, because God is faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence with us today. I pray that You will help us to keep on praying and believing and anticipating. Help us to trust You and wait on You. We know that You are faithful, and we commit our lives to You. In Jesus' name, amen.